Hi, it's Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, this is Cam Skip up at Rock 97.7 in Grand Prairie.
Awesome, bro. Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks. Happy Wednesday, hump day.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It's my last day before before I'm on holiday, so I can head down to the convention, eh? So,
awesome.
I've got the Friday state of mind.
Good for you. That's awesome. I can relate to that.
So let me just get this out of the way right off the bat here. I just want to say, thank you so much for everything that you've done. I just got to get my fanboy out right there, and then I'll get professional.
You're not in professional company here, so don't worry about a thing.
But yeah, man, I love the Turtles, always have, always will. It's always been a huge part of my life, so just thank you so much for creating something like that.
Oh, I appreciate that, and it's still amazes me that we're talking about this 30 years after the first turtle drawing was drawn and all that stuff. It's pretty amazing, and then some.
Yeah, could you talk a bit about how it was starting up your own publishing company back in the day with Mirage and like getting that first issue out? How did it feel to?
Well, it was the coolest thing about it was both Peter and I grew up as huge fans of comics, especially we had a huge hero complex for Jack Kirby. And so when we met, it was, we were fast friends. It was pretty immediate, and it was had been a lifelong dream, probably very unrealistic, certainly at that time, to want to have a career in drawing comics and actually not live in our parents' basement, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just drawing in comics in general. And when we came up with the idea for the Turtles back in November 1983, it was really one of those things that was, we never believed anybody would buy a single copy. We were certainly inspired by one of my biggest heroes. I put Jack Kirby at the top and Frank Miller and Corbin, but I put Dave Sim, who created the Incredible Cerebus, and really started a rejuvenation in the whole self-publishing movement. And I think he still lives in Kitchener. But if you're not familiar with it, you know Dave's work?
Oh, I actually, because of the issue of Turtles that Cerebus was featured in, I went through and I own all the Cerebus graphic novels now.
Oh, good for you.
And
good
I've
man,
read
good
through
man.
Them all. That's a holy crap. 300 issues is a lot to get through.
But, it is. And Dave's he's an absolute genius, but he was really inspiring to us in the early days of us wanting to be cartoonists and be out there and have her just get published and draw comics. Was that, when he showed what he could do with Cerebus by self-publishing it and not only the animal character aspect of, the aardvark running around like Conan the Barbarian, and actually even the parody that he drew a lot of the early issues, like Barry Smith was drawing, Conan the Barbarian back in the 70s, that it really affected us. So one, we should self-publish. Two, we should, let's try something like what Dave did and let's do a bit of a parody and have fun with it and just draw a comic book that we would like to see and read ourselves, because, again, we really didn't think anybody else would buy it. Something as, stupid as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but we had an absolute blast doing it. And, that was our introduction to the self-publishing market we originally intended to just put it out as something that would sell single copy through the mail. But, we got calls from distributors that they'd like to carry it through the direct market. And before we know it, after scraping together an income tax return, borrowing some money from my Uncle Quentin, and cleaning out Pete's bank account, we had enough money to print 3,000 copies. And to our surprise and good fortune, it sold out rather quickly. We did a second printing, and then because I grew up in the great state of Maine, I spent my summers cooking lobsters on the coast, Memorial Day to Labor Day kind of thing, to make enough money to survive through the winter. I went back and cooked lobsters in the summer of 84, fall of 84 to early 85. Peter and I started working on issue two, and, the sales from you know, Turtles issue two were respectful enough that we'd actually figured that if we did six of these comic books a year, we could actually pay our rent for our comic books for a living. So I always say that's really when the dream came true for us. You know, we got to eat all the macaroni and cheese we wanted to. We could pay our rent and we could draw comic books for a living.
That sounds like a pretty all right way to spend your time for me.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was pretty awesome. It was really awesome.
And then a little bit after you started doing the Turtles, because then you guys got, you know, you drawing more, then Tales of the Ninja Turtles came out, and you started kind of distributing some storylines to some of your closer friends, correct?
Yeah, we did. Actually, it was kind of an interesting thing is that when we started publishing the first issue and the second issue and the sales continued to grow on the regular comic series, while we were out there, you know, doing signings and conventions, we get to meet a lot of our heroes that inspired us to draw when we were younger. Plus we met a whole new crowd of up and coming artists that were just looking to find their way as well. And, you know, with the sales of the Turtles, being significant enough that we could pay decent page rates and that kind of stuff. And these guys wanted exposure and we were big fans of their art that we brought them in to help us, do and tell additional Turtle stories. And at the same time, we had begun around that time, to develop the animated series and working on the toys and some of the licensing was starting to grow. So we actually needed the help from artists just to get the issues out on a regular basis and just satisfy the fans, which we were, you know, lucky to have then and even more lucky to have even now.
Well, going to the now thing, how has it been being involved with the new IDW kind of rejuvenation of the Turtles?
Quite simply, man, it's been a dream. It's, you know, one of the coolest parts is when the good friend of mine, Ted Adams, one of the founders of, I think, five that founded IDW many years ago, when they obtained the license to do the Turtles, he'd called me up and asked if I'd come down and look out doing some covers and, you know, just check out what they had for an idea for some of the storylines that they were looking to do. And I met the incredible Tom Waltz, who really conceived the what I call the new foundation of the Turtle universe for the IDW universe, in that he picked his favorite parts of, you know, Turtles black and white comics, Turtles animated series, Turtles movies, and that kind of stuff, and it put his, he kind of rolled all of his favorite bits with a bit of his own edge to them, with a, you know, tip of the hat to the first comic series, black and white series, into one new universe, and I was just blown away. So when I kind of immediately said, you know, I'm on board for whatever you guys want me to do. And one of the things that was the coolest was it reminded me how much I miss drawing the Turtles, how much I love drawing the Turtles, and how many more Turtle stories I had to tell. So I've just been having, you know, quite simply the time of my life. For the last, coming up on, you know, this August will be 3 years that I've been back working on the series, you know, partially consultant, partially plotter, partial cover artist, and I've done a couple, you know, one-shots. And actually, it's funny you'd mentioned the Cerebus Turtles issue, which is Turtles number 8, which was one of my favorites, all-time favorites, is I'm working on a 48-page annual right now, which brings back the character Renette, which...
Traveler.
The time traveler, yeah, that brought the Turtles to Cerebus' universe and that kind of thing. So that's pretty cool. So I'm very nostalgic these days. I'm a couple of weeks away from wrapping up this new issue, and it's just been a blast. I just had the best time ever.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, because the new series has been just absolutely phenomenal. I've been loving keeping up with it. And just to be able to actually keep up with the series, because I was still fairly young when the first one came out, right? And so I was more into the cartoon and stuff, but now that there's actually a Turtle comic book series that I can buy, you know, monthly or bi-monthly, however, along with all the little, the mini-series and whatnot, you know, like the Outram Empire and the Shadows of, what was the one with the Foot Clan? Secrets of the Foot Clan, yeah. That's what it was.
Well, I can't express, you know, my appreciation and respect for IDW as a publisher, because they really crafted together you know, the whole, whole new Turtles universe, if you will, but they've gone back into, you know, always keeping in mind, you know, the original Turtle fans, as well as looking to bring in new fans. And especially thanks to Nickelodeon, who still has approval over the series, to be able to let us get away with as much stuff as we've gotten away with, and that it's not intended for kids per se. It's older audience intended, for the most part. You know, nothing too crazy and too gratuitous, but there's some pretty edgy stuff in there. But it's allowed us to dig into areas that we never really completely explored in the original series and later series, as well as playing off ideas that were explored in those original versions or even the animated shows, and bringing, you know, breathing new life into some of our favorite characters. And, you know, Tom Waltz and the main editor, the series editor, is a guy named Bobby Kernow. And Bobby's just fantastic. I mean, these guys are, you know, rock solid Turtle fans from, you know, from back in the day, and they're putting, you know, a lot of sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of effort into it, and it's showing. And, you know, but at the end of the day, if it weren't for, you know, fans like you that have come back and embraced it and are digging it, then, you know, would be out on the street. So we like that all the hard work is paying off, and thanks to you guys for supporting it, because it really is a quite a great time to do it, to work on it.
Awesome. I got one more question for you. Sure. So you're a consultant on the new Ninja Turtles movie, correct?
Yes.
Is there anything, any little secrets you can give away? What can we expect, or?
Well, there's a Paramount Studios has a sniper posted on the hill above my backyard that if I let any information out, they're going to take me down. I'm kidding, of course. No, my involvement in the series started about 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago, when the original producers, Scott Mednick and Galen Walker, were developing the new live-action movie. And when Michael Bay's Platinum Dunes came over and took over the production aspect and brought in director Jonathan Liebsman, Jonathan reached out to me almost from day one and just said, look, I want to do a movie that's cool. I want to do that, you know, I want to put a little bit of my own spin and edge on it, but I want to be respectful to the fans, the fan base, and I just want to do the best Turtles movie ever. And so, you know, we spent a lot of time just sort of going through ideas and kicking the tires on a couple other things, and that's what's been, you know, so fun about even this new version. I know a lot of the fans are concerned, you know, about some aspects that they've sort of read in the press, which, you know, don't believe everything you hear.
Right. Like, were the alien, was the alien thing ever going to actually happen? Like the alien turtles? Because that had me a little worried.
Well, you know, it's always funny. It was one of those points that came up early on that, you know, because a lot of fans that met the Turtles were usually through the animated series and that kind of thing. But the radioactive ooze that turned the turtles into mutants was of alien origin. So there was always an alien aspect, and I think it just sort of got twisted around in the press. And I think, you know, sometimes Hollywood, you know, good press as well as bad press sometimes can be still great press. But Peter and I did that back in, I think, Turtles issue 4, 5, and 6, and wrapped up in Turtles issue 7, the original series, where we explained the Ultrons and, you know, how they came to Earth, and it was their radioactive substance, which was the goo, the ooze, that turned them into mutants. So they always sort of had this alien history, but it was one of those things that, you know, I think just got a little turned around out there and had a lot of fans worried. But I think Paramount, most of all, you know, when you look at the success that they had with, like, you know, projects like Iron Man and the Avengers and things, that, you know, when you stick true to the roots, stick true to the origins, you can make some pretty incredible movies that still embrace the fans that, you know, have been part of their childhood. Now that the Turtles are 30 years old, I mean, it's literally generational. I mean, half the people that stand in line at the comic conventions and the different things that we do are, you know, a combination of parents that originally grew up with them, and now they're sharing it with those kids. And, you know, there's a lot of new fans. So it's sort of, it's pretty cool. It's pretty funny to still be out there doing this and talking Turtles and doing all that stuff 30 years after the original creation. And I just love it. I just think you all have given me the best job ever, quite simply.
Well, I'm glad that you're still doing it, man. That makes me happy.
I love it. I think that, you know, if I wasn't doing Turtles, I'd be drawing something. And, it is, the Turtles have been so very good to me, and I still have the best time. I have the best time drawing, especially, you know, it's always energizing and inspiring to meet the fans. It's kind of meant quite a lot to you over their lives and stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's very cool.
Awesome. Well, I better let you go here. We've been running over the time a bit, and I think the media person's going to be a little angry at me, but I don't care.
Oh, no, me either. No, I know I've got a couple other calls today, and I think one's coming in a little bit, but that's not a problem. Oh, that might be it right now. Let me bid you adieu and say thank you very much.
I hope to see you down at the convention.
I look forward to it. Please come by and say hi, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
I'll bring my issue with Cerebus and get you to give a little signature on that, if you don't mind.
It's a deal.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Kevin.
Take care, man. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.